As Greg said, my name is Dane Peterson. I am the sole proprietor of a web design shop by the name of Brainside Out Industries. I started my company last September. It was kind of an interesting, long journey to get to this point of actually working for myself and not being stuck under the thumb of the man. And let me tell you, I've had some really horrible jobs stuck under the thumb of the man. No, actually, I've never had to work in a cubicle. It's been pretty sweet. Like Craig said, I graduated from UMD in 2003, pretty much right after taking this class. I believe that this was even the last final that I had to turn in. And I skipped my graduation ceremony so I could move out to Oregon a day sooner. I was in no interest to hang around Minnesota one whit longer. Love this state, love Duluth, but there were things to do. And I moved out to work at a windsurfing shop in Hood River, Oregon. I lived out in the sun and the wind for most of the summer, working as a gear technician, rigging and de-rigging windsurfing equipment. Doesn't sound very technical, does it? Certainly not musical, like my previous major. Certainly not new media writing, like my major that I ended up graduating with. But at the same instance, it's what I wanted to do. Wanted to just work in the sun and sand and stuff and learn how to windsurf. Eventually, after about a month at my windsurfing shop, they realized that I had other assets to bring to the table besides my incredible tan and huge biceps. So they brought me inside to take a look at their website. I worked on my client project, and I was also pursuing various personal websites and such on the side. So I was kind of geared up and ready to tackle something that was actually professional. So I took over jurisdiction of their website and worked on it until about November of 2003, at which point windsurfing being a very seasonal sport, people don't like to do it when there's snow on the ground, apparently. Most of the work that I had at my shop kind of dried up for me, so I had to find something else to do for the winter. So I moved to Bend, Oregon to work as a snowboard rat and teach snowboard lessons to little kids. And that was a lot of fun. Problem with that is we had a very slow snow season starting on, so I wasn't getting enough hours. And I tried to do a few little side jobs here and there. I really needed work in town, so I tried, you know, framing houses or doing landscaping. And none of that stuff added up. Either the ground was frozen, there was snow on the ground, whatever. The landscaping does not happen in Oregon in December. So I was checking the classified ads, and I actually found a position for a web design shop in town that was looking for a web support specialist. As I checked out their website, which was actually not quite up to par with what I would expect for a web design shop, I was convinced that they were a spam house, that they were in charge of sending everyone in this room and everybody who isn't in this room messages regarding particular enhancements of parts of the body or whatnot. When I finally visited the company and talked to them, it turned out that they were a really groovy group of folk who just unfortunately spent all of their time working on paid websites and not their own website. Some of us included are still suffering from that same affliction. So I got hired on, worked as a web support specialist, and worked for these guys for about a full year. It was really rad. It was a small company. There was about 10 of us. I learned a lot about business working for them. I got my bachelor's from University of Minnesota, but I really got my business degree from my web design shop. Being a small company, I got to see the way a business worked all the way from the top down to the lowly peon me. At meetings during meetings on Friday, I'd bitch out the CEO if I didn't like what he was doing and thought that he was mismanaging the company. Usually meetings were associated with Pabst Blue Ribbon, we won't go into that, or Sparks Energy Drink, which is 6.5% alcohol by volume. But it was really a cool experience because it was a pretty casual environment, but I was still expected to deliver really, really great results, really great websites. Eventually, I decided that I had had enough with web design. The entire time that I was working there, I was kind of dealing with a repetitive stress injury associated with building websites, not anything else. So it was getting to the point where I was doing some consulting work on the side for web design, and just the pain was just radiating up my arm into my shoulder and everything. And it was so painful that there were times where I would be in front of the computer and I would just be in tears because it was so painful. So at the time, I wasn't sure if I would even be able to build websites for any extended period for the rest of my life. So I decided I wanted to guide canoe trips. So I made the plan to move to northern Minnesota to guide canoe trips for YMCA Camp Minojin. And in the interim between leaving my job at the web design shop and moving back to Minnesota, I went back to my windsurfing shop. Armed with the knowledge that I had gotten working for my web design shop, I was able to kind of take the windsurfing shop website, by the collar and lift it up and really hammer the crap out of their e-commerce engine. I dove in there and recoded the entire thing. Honestly, I didn't really know what I was doing getting into it, but I made sure that I had enough sandboxes set aside and such that I could, learn how the entire e-commerce engine, which was the shopping cart and an online product catalog that integrates with a database and various things like that. I made sure that I had the sandbox set aside, so as I'm working on this, if I blew something up, I wouldn't blow up the entire site. So a lot of it's been trial by fire. I dive into a project, don't really know what I'm getting into, and just try to weasel my way out of it. It's been a great way of learning. It's been kind of stressful at times, but I've really enjoyed it. So I rebuilt their e-commerce engine, really, really gave their website some nice polish that they were really looking for. And upon completing that, I zipped back to Minnesota, spent the entire summer in the woods, guiding trips with area youth. Really fun, really rewarding. By the time I got out of doing that this past September 2005, I had a few voicemails waiting for me on my cell phone. One of them was from the manager of my windsurfing shop. So I called him back to see what was up. This is kind of an interesting visual. I'm up in Grand Marais, which, if any of you have gone on road trips there to eat at Spin and Ollie's or get some of the world's greatest donuts, if you haven't done that, I highly recommend it. But I'm out on the end of Artist Point, which is this beautiful rocky point out in Lake Superior in Grand Marais, and I'm hopping rock to rock to rock, talking on my cell phone to my boss from my windsurfing shop, pretty much sealing the deal where they will become the first client of a business that was to be named Brainside Out Industries. Apparently, during the summer, the work that I had done the season prior to their website had increased the revenue by, it doubled it, which I was flattered by. I had no expectation that such awesome things would happen, but they did. So he was super stoked about this. He's like, dude, we're making money. This is awesome. We need you to keep doing work for this. And to which I retorted, that sounds great, but I'm not really in a position to move back to Hood River. And he replies that I don't care where you are geographically. We just need this work done. And the million-dollar question was, well, will you pay me to do it as a consultant? And he was like, yeah, hell yeah. So I started Brainside Out Industries in that kind of September, October of 2005. Started with one client, a windsurfing shop. Pretty quickly, that grew to three or four clients within that first month until November or so. And these days, I've got about 9 clients. I'm working on about 12 to 14 different projects. And I'm just about ready to lose my mind. But it's a lot of fun. It's been a really, really great experience, and if any of you have the entrepreneurial spirit, I highly recommend it. That's what I call kind of my long road home, and I'm kind of still writing that at the moment, but that's where I've been, that's where I am, and that's kind of where I'm going. So enough trash talk. I'm sure you guys want to see some websites. Like I said, probably I've got a bunch of sites that I'm working on right now. We'll go to the first one. That's kind of the obvious one that I'm sure a number of you have already looked at. But this is my own website. Welcome. It's kind of a weblog at this point, which doesn't really work for me as trying to re-architect myself as a business right now. But kind of with this website. It's been an ongoing project since 2001 when I first started it on the humble UMD servers under various different names. So from very humble beginnings, it's inherited quite a history of posts and whatnot. I've had a lot of fun putting it together, and I'm actually in the process of redesigning it for May 1st. There's a CSS reboot, cascading style sheets, which I'm sure that you guys have experimented with a little bit. Sounds like you use them to change font colors on links and stuff. There's a lot more to CSS if you're so inclined to learn. We might get into a little bit of it. With the sites that I design, I try to make them as visually interesting as possible. I spend a lot of time on color and layouts and just really try to make them usable and readable. At the same point, all of the sites that I design have an underlying structure that's very similar. If you're familiar at all with the term web standards, it's a different approach to web design where you don't use tables for laying stuff out, and you kind of just keep this undercarriage that where everything is all kind of similar and semantically structured. By semantics, I mean if you were to look at a newspaper has kind of the masthead at the very top, and then you've got kind of headlines that are a little bit bigger, and then under each headline you've got, say, body text for each one of the articles. So the underlying structure of all of my websites, when you shave away the graphical niceties, the underlying structure is extremely basic, and it's structured in a way that is... We've got our headline, like our masthead, in a newspaper. Just get navigation, jump to content. That's really nice when people are browsing your website on a PDA or on a cell phone and whatnot. They can just hit that, bam, go straight to version 3.awesome. They don't need to wait to, slog through all these navigation elements. So this is all the navigation, the really hot stuff that you saw in the other view that goes across the screen. Here it's just an unordered list. Here we have another headline, the version 3.awesome, the image, and the body text. So when we disable the structure, when we apply the additional layer of styles to it, when we use the CSS styles, suddenly the skip navigation content has disappeared. The Brainside Out Industries has become this beautiful background of people running along Teta Gooch. The navigation is styled and runs horizontally rather than vertically in a bulleted list. And then we've got the content formatted in a way that we like it to be looking. So with that, we're going to go to another website here. This is one that I just did for a client. It just recently launched. Tuesday's Robot is a band based out of Minneapolis. They are a country rock band. Pretty good stuff. They've got a new CD coming out, a CD release show April 28th. If anybody's going to be in the Minneapolis area in the middle of the week, I would recommend going to it. But what I really tried to do is, them being a country rock band, I kind of wanted to go for a look and feel that was sort of rugged and sort of a parchment background to it. I didn't want any sort of sharp, obtrusive colors. A little bit of ornamentation, just to give it a little edge of a class. It's like an old, dinged-up saloon that one day, when it was a boomtown, it was pretty rad things going on, but since it's kind of fallen on hard times as the gold ran out and everybody moved elsewhere. So that being said, I spent a lot of time on the design, but the most important part of any website is content. Let me repeat that because it's extremely important. The most important portion of any website is the content. How many of you are having trouble getting content from the clients right now for your client projects? A couple of you? All right. Yeah. Many times, getting content from the client can be what's going to hang up a project, which is kind of ironic because it's by far the most important thing. You don't go to a website...
Hello, congratulations.
Why, thank you. You don't go to a website to look at the navigation or say, ooh, weathered text, I love it. You go to a website to, network with somebody. You go to MySpace because you want to hook up. you go to Tuesday's Robot. You're curious if they've got any gigs coming up or if they're going to be playing in your town. You go to My Morning News, or you go to Metafilter, or you go to Google News to find out what's going on in the world and what people are saying about it. You don't go to a website because it looks good. You might prefer to go to websites that look good over ones that don't, but for the most part, the most important thing are the words on the page. And it's kind of ironic that too often we build a beautiful website with a beautiful design, but we're always hung up on getting the content from the client, which is something that we can talk about a little bit more later if you guys are curious about certain strategies that we can use to get that notorious content from the client. So as I was talking to this client, I wanted to know what the most important part of the site for him was. And for him, it was the lyrics. He spends a lot of time writing the lyrics for his songs. They're really, really meaningful to him. They really kind of dig deep into his soul. And some bands think music's the music is the thing. They don't care about the words. Maybe they don't even have the words in the liner notes. For this guy, different story. The words were his story. So I built his website around I built it around having the lyrics formatted in such a way that was pretty legible, pretty accessible. Got a track listing down the side here that lets you kind of scroll auto magically down to down to the tracks. I just wanted to make this as easy for people to browse if they're looking for the lyrics for a song, to make it easy for them to find what it is they're looking for. So that's something to keep in mind as you're working on, say, your client projects or other projects in the future, is what is the content that's going to go into this site? How often is it going to be updated? Is it there a shopping list, or is it a weblog, or is it a series of lyrics? Is it something that they're going to be updating daily, something that they're going to update 10 times a day? Are they going to be long essays or short essays, paragraphs? Always kind of keep that in mind and try to build your website around what the content is and how much of it there's going to be. With that, we'll kind of change gears here and go to another website that is surprisingly relevant for the time that we're in. Are any of you dealing with your client projects? You want to sell stuff online, or your client wants to sell stuff online, whether it's t-shirts or knitted fine things, shopping cart, or some sort of way to buy stuff online. This is another site that I've designed and I set up myself. It pretty much went from conception to realization in about a month. Now, of course, I sat on the idea for about 6 months before I decided, okay, I want to make t-shirts and I want to sell them online. But when I finally started moving the ball on this one, it was about February 1st. And by February 28th, I had launched the site. I'm not going to write my own custom backend for e-commerce and commerce management and stuff like that. I wanted somebody else to handle it. So what I use for this website is PayPal. What this does is lets me, PayPal generates the form for me. You can select size. The shirts only come in one color. If you don't like the color, you don't get it. It's just the scale of the operation. So I just add it to my cart. Bam! I'm buying a large sand-colored I've Been to Duluth shirt. And if I go on, I can secure checkout. Yeah, I can enter my credit card number and let you guys all see that. And I can buy a shirt for myself, which I'm actually not going to do. So again, kind of a small site. It's only got four pages on it. And as I was thinking about how I want to structure this site, what do I want my users to do? What's the important content? Important content is right here. I want you to buy a t-shirt. So I put it on the first page that everybody sees. I put it above the fold. The fold is this line right here. Anything that will appear in kind of the first screen splash we call above the fold. It's a newspaper term. I wanted to make sure that if people are interested in seeing bigger pictures of the shirt, that they can get those. Wanted some details just so they can see that it's some pretty awesome texture and silkscreen there. I'd love to buy this shirt. So, again, unique sites, unique approach to it.
What else is there to what you've got here on the page besides just a button and a drop-down menu and a form? What else is involved in that process?
Okay, as far as setting it up?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a really important point. If you log into PayPal, if you create a PayPal account, they've got a certain set of things that you can sign up for called merchant tools. And one of those merchant tools that they let you build is a shopping cart, which basically you input some information, you type in the name of the product, how much it costs, how much it's going to cost to ship, are there options for this product, or does it have does it come in different colors, is it available in different sizes? You enter all that information, then you press a button on the PayPal website, and it'll automatically generate the HTML for you that you copy and plunk into your site.
Just the HTML for that little
form
there?
Yeah, just the HTML is just this, just the functionality. Everything else is standard text that I end up writing myself. PayPal is an eBay company, so as far as usability goes, they don't have the most intuitive controls on their merchant tools. So just as a warning, as you're going into it, it might not seem entirely obvious. Like, I even knew what I was looking for, and I was getting pretty frustrated with it at times. But it really, unless you want to pay somebody or figure out how to do yourself, the rigmarole that goes into building a custom e-commerce store using PayPal is a pretty easy way of doing it. And they take a small cut. I think that they shave maybe $2 a shirt off my orders. But for me, not having that headache of needed to maintain a custom web application, it's worth it to me. $2 a shirt. I've got another website that I have been working on. This one's been a lot of fun. Again, each site kind of has a unique needs and unique look and feel. As I was talking to this client, I wanted to know what's the most important thing about your business. This is Happy Tails Boarding Kennel, which is a boarding kennel for dogs based out in Hood River, well, White Salmon, which is just north of Hood River in White Salmon, Washington. And what this client really wanted to emphasize was we're fun. We're very personal with our pets and everything. We take good care of them. They're going to get individual affection and stuff if you leave your pet with us. And our color is yellow. And I was really excited to work with yellow because a lot of the other sites that I've been working on have been muted tones, more earthy. Tuesday's Robot, earthy. Brainsideout.com, earthy. Another site that I haven't showed you yet, earthy. So I was really excited to work with kind of a bright and cheery color scheme. And then again, I kind of structured the site, kept it limited to four pages here, just based on the amount of content that I got from the clients. Smaller sites are not inferior to bigger websites. If anything, I think that they're far better. If you have 20 pages of content, chances are you can have 10. If you really work hard, you can write 5. It's kind of that whole philosophy of, I didn't have enough time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one. You know, omit needless words. That I can't really stress that enough. Efficiency and being able to communicate effectively in as few words as possible is extremely valuable and is certainly something that I recommend. Study writing and get really good at it. Keep practicing it. Communication, efficient communication will, you know, it's one of the most valuable things that you can invest in. Words being so important, let's go to 1,000 of them instantly. Spent a lot of time kind of working on the photo tour because this is where a lot of people are going to end up. Do I want to trust my pet to this place? So I wanted to make this as easy for people to browse as possible. So we've got kind of the main image, bam. This is Happy Tails right here. And to browse this, you can click through and look at all these different awesome images. There's their formal room. This is the kennel run outside. That's more of the kennel run. This is a dog with a lot of slobber going on. So I just wanted to make it as easy for people to click on the different images with as little cost as possible. If you click on an image and it takes you to a different page and you have to hit the back button, that's always kind of a pain. So I wanted to, you know, kind of reduce the cost of clicking on something. I wanted to make it easy for people to browse stuff and not really need to wait for it to load. If you go to another website that I've got. Again, this is a site that's very much in development. It's for a Clayworks studio out in Oregon. Again, the really neat thing about the web is you can live anywhere and do it anywhere. When I was up in Grand Marais, I was talking on my cell phone, which is a number that's registered in Bend, standing on the shores of Lake Superior, way up north in Minnesota, talking to a client that was in Hood River, discussing a server that was being hosted in Pittsburgh. The nature of the web is really delocalized, so I'm able to work with a lot of clients, and so long as we keep these avenues of communication open as far as email or phone or even face-to-face, it's hard when they're 1,600 miles away, but I really enjoy meeting my clients face-to-face if at all possible. If you can maintain good relationships with your clients, that's one of the most valuable things you can do. No matter if you're going to go into web design or if you're going into engineering or what have you, being able to communicate effectively is, top-notch. And if you can, really take good care of your clients, explain things clearly to them, make them feel valuable. If you're trying to explain something technical, don't talk over their heads and feel really impressed about yourself. It's one thing that I've learned in a lot of the stuff I do, from the wilderness guiding to the snowboard instruction to building websites, is, people only have so much patience for stuff that they don't really care about. And if I'm trying to teach somebody how to snowboard, they don't really care about edge pressure and various things, myriad things like that. They just want to know how to snowboard. So whatever you can do to make them as effective as possible in what they're trying to do. Are they trying to sell pots online? Are they trying to snowboard? Do they want to get people to drop their pets off at their boarding kennel? Whatever you can do to help them do that better, you'll have happy clients. And the nice thing is a good client, one that you keep pretty happy, is pretty stoked on you, a good client's worth 10 bad clients. And a great client, one who's a raving fan, will be worth 10 clients. And that goes for whatever business that you're dealing with. So definitely, if you have those great clients, keep them great clients. Communicate with them. Ask them, when's the baby coming, for instance? How are the kids? What's the weather like? Just, be nice. What we've kind of got going on here is he makes pirate pots. I get to build websites for pirates. I love my job. I have another friend who I do work for who makes pirate hats, and he runs a pretty good business online, selling them using PayPal. Same system that I use for selling t-shirts that I've been to do. The way that I choose to build websites is I like to have a very modular approach where this is a module. We've got an image here, we've got the headline here, that's a module. And we've got content here, that's a module. Well, this is kind of wasted space. And what we want to do here is have the PayPal integration kind of drop right in there. So the way that I've coded this in the background, if we go back to the semantics and the newspapers and junk that I was talking about earlier, the way that I have this structured underneath, it makes it incredibly easy for me to add more stuff down there. Had I chosen to use a table-based layout, as you're drawing stuff with Dreamweaver, maybe this would be a cell, and then there would be a spacer cell right here, and this would be a cell, and this would be a cell, but there would be a spacer GIF, a transparent image, horizontally and vertically in here, taking up this space. So if I wanted to go in, I'd have to go in and delete the spacer GIF, well then everything slides over there. I sidestepped that whole thing by just trying to create a structure that I don't need to use tables or anything like that. So if I want to add stuff and slide things around very slightly, I can do that at a very low cost. One more site, and we'll open it up for questions. What's wrong with this picture? Why didn't I build this right? We have a template, but we don't have any content. I'm violating my first rule of building a website around content. This is my own website. I'm trying to relaunch my site, kind of position more as a portfolio, trying to get more work, get more clients, put on a more professional face while still having fun with it. Yup. This is kind of misleading because I actually built the site around one of the internal pages. As you guys have been building your client projects, did you kind of start working on the home page, or did you start working on one of the inner pages? Like if it's a list of catalog or of products or something, did you start on a product detail or did you start working on the home page? Home page? Is that kind of a general consensus? Yeah. And that's really addictive too, because how do we read books? Well, first we look at the cover and say, okay, well, yeah, this looks like it's worth reading. Then you open the book and you start on page one and you start in the upper left-hand corner and you read until you reach the lower right. Unfortunately, with starting with the web design on, you know, kind of on the cover, on the first page, starting with the upper left-hand corner, you're starting with the least important thing, which in this instance would probably be the header. Now, as we said before, content is the most important part of any website. So if I'm going to start designing a website, the first thing I want to consider is what's going on in here. And also what's going on in here. And why are you wrapping to a new line? These are questions that we ask ourselves. So when I try to design a website, and I'm guilty as shown on this front page. Where's the content? Why was this structured the way it was? Well, fortunately, it was kind of structured around this one. But ideally, when I'm designing a site, and when other people design a site, you want to start with your content area. What's going to go in there? How wide is it going to be? Long paragraphs or short paragraphs? Are they, you know, long, involved essays, where you're probably going to want to have smaller text with longer lines, or are they going to be short, sort of fly-by-night stuff, stream of consciousness, where, you know, each new thought is a new line. In that instance, you might want to have a narrower section here. So just consider the content that's going to go into your website and build, instead of building from up here to down here, build from the inside out. That's what I really kind of tried to do on this website. This isn't formatted yet. Again, this is the way that I approach sites is I'm not too obsessed about the way things look. Mostly what I want to do is kind of get the content in there. This is content that I've just poached from my existing website, pasted it in here, because I'm pretty sure that between now and May 1st, I'm not going to have time to write a new portfolio. So what I've done here is I've put the content in this box that I know I want to exist here, and when I get around to it, I want to format it to make it look the way I want. So instead of obsessing over the layout, I'm instead trying to obsess over the content and what's going to go in there. Again, I try to discipline myself regarding this. Too often, I get obsessed with the design. I spend all my time working on the design, and I don't spend any time on writing the content for it. So really, to discipline myself, I try to write the content for websites first. Or if you're working with a client project, see what you can do to get content from the client. At least maybe one page of content from the client before you actually start building the design, just so you have an idea where it's going to go. Because now would be as good a time as any to open it up for questions.
Yeah, Shane.
Well, what you're saying is the best way to start, like, I have trouble, like, should I start my web page with the home page? Should I start with, just fun things that I want to do with the page? You're saying just in your program, just start all your content, right? Just write it all up. Is that what you're saying?
If that works for you. The way my brain works is I like to have it all out in front of me, whether it's digitally or by physically. Maybe if I've got everything that I want to have on a page, Let's say, okay, I want to have navigation. I want to have a little about capsule about me. I want to have a bulleted list of things I've accomplished in my life. I want to have a header. And then write those all on individual note cards and maybe throw them out on the floor and look at them and kind of, you know, rearrange them. I'm a very visual person. I need to see everything in front of me to be able to do it. So maybe I don't do it physically. Maybe I do it in just a text editor, load up Word or whatever, and just, you know, write down on a new line everything that I want and then kind of sort it and figure out, okay, what do I want on top? What's the most important thing? What's getting kind of slid down to the bottom? What's not important to me? Okay, this has made it all the way to the bottom. It's not very important to me to have my email address appear on every page, especially if spam bots are going to harvest that. Certainly not a good idea. So, okay, maybe knock the stuff off the bottom. So just try to compress visually what it is that you want to put on your website. And I'd recommend starting with the content and let the content determine the direction that the design goes, rather than let the design, you know, kind of the template that you end up choosing, and then trying to hammer whatever content comes after that into the design. Is that helpful at all?
Yeah, it's good. I have like this, not a journal, but like just a book with pages, and I'm going to draw my website out, but instead I think I'm going to use the content to direct through.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. Drawing it out, I seem to be sort of skipping a step. I'm going straight from content to website. Whereas for this design, what I was really going for was, I knew I wanted to do a grid pattern. So a square here, a grid here, a grid here, matches up with this. If we go back to the about page, let me know if I'm saying anything embarrassing here. I really haven't. Oh, ninjas? Okay, that's cool. So I kind of wanted an offset header right here, but I did a very similar thing to what you're talking about, is sketching it out. I don't go directly to the computer. I don't go directly to Photoshop, or maybe even directly to Word. I spend a lot of time just jotting stuff out on graph paper. There, you can get these awesome composition books. They seem to disappear right around the time that everybody's going back to school, so don't try to find them in August, September. But right now is a great time to find them because nobody wants to buy graph paper right now. But I find that that's really helpful as far as trying to grid out what I want for my website. So I spend a lot of time actually sketching with pen and paper, say logos. How do I want my logo laid out, or how do I want the entire site structured? So if you're not having very much fun sitting there and you're pulling your hair out, sliding stuff around in Photoshop, or watching things explode in Dreamweaver when you load them in Internet Explorer, step back for a moment and work on your design with just pen and paper, and maybe shuffling around the content that you want to use too. Any questions? Yeah.
When you have a client who doesn't give you a lot of information, I know you can only prod them so much. Do you just kind of put something together and see how they react, and then maybe they give more feedback, or how do you get around that?
Definitely. I put something together. A lot of times clients don't really know what they want starting out. It's kind of, somebody walks onto a car lot. What are you looking for? I don't know. Obviously, they're looking for a car because they presented themselves to the car lot. So then you start asking questions. Do you have a family? Well, none to speak of. How old are you? Maybe I'm 50 going on 16. Okay, that's cool. Do you like bright colors? No, very, very muted. You can tell by the suit that I'm wearing. So maybe this guy would be a prime candidate for a sports car, maybe. And if he's not, just give it to him. Say, okay, here's a sports car. Well, no, that's absolutely not what I want. I'm looking for an SUV. Okay, now you're getting somewhere. The client at first didn't give you anything, but then you showed him something that he was repulsed by. My advice isn't to show initial clients stuff that they will be repulsed by. But my advice would be to, if they don't give you a lot to go off of, just try to weasel something out of them. Is there a color that they want you to use? Or is there a structure that they're kind of more angled towards? The way that I build websites is I don't build everything at first and then bounce it off the client. If I were the client for this site, this isn't the first thing that I would see as a client. What I would probably see is a few swatches of the color schemes, of the browns, and maybe a few shades of the purplish blue. It was about 2 years ago that I started branding Brainside Out with brown and purplish blue. And I kind of like that color scheme, so I think I'll just stick with it, even with this redesign. So maybe the first thing that I'll send to a client is just a color scheme that I came up with that I thought that they would like. And then usually what they'll do is they'll get back to you and say, okay, some of what you've done is good, some of what you've done is bad. As a designer, you need to have extremely thick skin. If they say that what you've done is absolutely horrible, okay, that hurts. But see what you can get that they actually liked, and then go in that direction. Maybe they didn't hate the whole thing. Maybe they're like, okay, I like the rounded corners, but I want a much brighter color scheme. Kind of go in that direction. Does that help at all? Yes, sir.
Can you just expand a little bit more on that shopping cart rule with PayPal? I mean, is that pretty easy to figure out?
Again, PayPal is an eBay company, so it's got all the usability of eBay. Things, it's kind of mashed up and not really too intuitive. What I would probably recommend is that the way that I do it, if I have a client that says, I want to use this, maybe I can generalize away from e-commerce and kind of zero in on answering your question. If I have a client that wants to use something and I don't know how it works, I'll usually start a project on the side where I'm trying to accomplish a similar thing. I wanted to learn how to use PayPal better, so I started a t-shirt company on the side. I don't recommend that you just flippantly start companies unless that's your thing. For some of us, it is. But like, if you can figure out a way in your free time, they say, okay, I want, for instance, Tuesday's robot wanted a music player, which I thought, okay, I've never worked with, you know, music players on the web. So I just started tinkering with it on the side. Rather than trying to figure out, you know, getting obsessed with, well, how am I going to design a music player? How's it going to look? I just said, okay, what's it going to take to serve, say, MP3s online? So I started a project on the side where I didn't care about how it looks. I didn't care about the client. I was just, you know, using MP3s from my collection, maybe 10-second MP3s, just sample sounds or anything that I pulled off of iTunes, and started to try to build stuff around that. So eventually we came up with something that, you know, turns out pretty rad. I didn't build this. Somebody else built this. I just did a Google search for Flash MP3 player, and this was kind of the first thing that came up. And as I learned more about it, as I experimented with it away from this project, I learned how to actually put it together and make it a full product for a client. Maybe if you don't think that you can do a full e-commerce thing, if you've dove into PayPal and you don't feel entirely comfortable with it, maybe hedge that and just say, I can't do it now, I don't think I can do it now, but maybe I can do it later. This is that whole modular approach to design. You know, what can you build now? And what do you think that you can add later? My other advice would be to just make yourself a merchant. It doesn't cost anything. PayPal actually gives you about 50 cents to confirm your checking account. It's how they make sure that you're an actual person, that, you know, you're associated with the right account. They deposit like a 23 cents and a 23 cent deposit and like a 29 cent deposit into your checking account, and then you go back to PayPal and you enter that. So you actually make money. Making yourself a merchant at PayPal. It's pretty rad. It's like going to the plasma donation center. Only we're talking about orders of magnitude less money. But I'd recommend just making yourself a merchant and starting experimenting with it rather than trying to set up an account for a client and, you know, needing to kind of tiptoe around passwords and, you know, private checking account information, set yourself up on it and see if you can figure it out personally.
Is the difficulty just like navigating their website and
pretty
their,
much
their system? It isn't the. It seems like what you're saying is that the problem isn't so much getting the HTML from their site to onto your page, but
yeah.
It's more just the kind of standard.
It's
thing,
more
like
just
filling out the forms and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the interesting thing is it's not so much that it's hard to do, it's just hard to figure out what you want to do. This kind of goes back to the client doesn't know what they want. They've walked in, they say that they need a website. They don't really know why they want a website. Maybe they were just chatting with some relatives, and the relative said, well, you've been running your own business for 10 years now, and you guys should really have a website for your small engine repair shop or something like that. So they're coming to you, and they're saying, well, you know, geez, you're going to do it for free because it's a class project? Build me a website. Well, what do you want? I don't know what I want. So, again, the hardest part is defining what it is you're looking for. So with PayPal, I found that once I knew what I wanted to do with PayPal, it was pretty easy.
I notice on all your websites you have the links and navigation right at the top of your pages.
Yeah. That's just kind of a trend of my own personal preference. I've got some other websites that I've done that kind of the navigation goes down the side. Spacing is a little bit off. I actually made this on a PC. The fonts are different on the... This was a really, really complex design. Lots going on here, but this doesn't use any tables. Again, it's all... If we were to look at it in Opera, it would just all kind of be one linear list. But here, I mean, we've got it's a little more complex. We've got navigation down the side, navigation across the top. Who else do I have? Here we go. This is for the windsurfing shop that I'm affiliated with. Again, here we've got some navigation across the top, navigation down the side. If we go to my portfolio. This is an old version of my website. This was about 2 years ago. And here I had the navigation down the left side. So I'm 50-50. It's as far as usability goes, navigation down the side, navigation across the top, neither is going to shock a user when they come to your website. It's just, again, a matter of, you know, what's your content going to be? Do you want to use that extra real estate that you might be able to do? I mean, if you're going to have like extra wide images in this area, to keep the design of your website from being way too wide, you might want to have the navigation across the top rather than down the left. That's my primary reason for putting it on the top, mostly just because I don't want to deal with it depending on what sort of content I have down here. But good question. As far as usability goes, left side or top is fine. I've experimented with doing designs with the navigation on the right. I wouldn't do that again. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. I was bucking the fold, I suppose. I was like, I'm such a good web designer. I'm going to change all the rules. Navigation overlaid on top of content. And it uses JavaScript, so you have to drag it out of the way. And it moves every time you try to go to it. Anybody else?
I had a question just on behalf of a group of people. I've been asked about web hosting. You know, the sites that they're creating for their clients aren't going to be able to sit on their UMD accounts, and for those that are, you know, private businesses out there and so on, do you have recommendations about web hosting?
I certainly do. I moved all of my websites. I only had one at the time. It sounds so impressive. It kind of is now. I've got a lot going on. But I moved all of my websites over to a web hosting company based out of LA called DreamHost. They're at www.dreamhost.com. And it's really inexpensive. It's if you prepay for 2 years, it's $8 a month. If you go day to day, month to month to month, it's $10 a month. If you prepay for 1 year, you get $10. If you just go month to month straight up, they charge you a $50 setup fee. So you're looking at nothing. For 2 years of web hosting, I just threw down for the $8 a month and, you know, $200, bam. I don't need to worry about it. The nice thing about DreamHost, too, is all of the websites that I've been showing you, happy.brainsideout.com, brainsideout.com, I've been to duluth.net, pots.brainsideout.com, reboot.brainsideout.com, what else? I guess, you know, my development site for Tuesday's Robot, robot.brainsideout.com. Those are all hosted on the same account. So for all of those websites, I'm still only paying $8 a month. So, you know, if you're doing work for family members, you can share an account if they're cool with that, or if it's a friend, if you want to experiment with the web. I make it sound so sacrilegious, experiment with the web. Of course, there are things that you can do. You can share hosting accounts across different people too. So I highly recommend DreamHost. I use it for all of my sites. I've moved a number of clients over to it. It comes highly recommended from other professional web designers, and I've got a number of friends who use it as well, and they really get the job done. And they're funny too. If you go to their website, check out their weblog. The guys there are absolute nutcases. They send out regular email messages too. You can unsubscribe if you want, but whenever they're announcing server upgrades and stuff that you would think would be entirely dry and not interesting at all, they go nuts. They're neat. They're a real treat. I highly recommend DreamHost.
What's too that you have distinct domain names for each of these? Do you get the domain names? Do you register for those through this DreamHost.com, or do you do that through some other means?
DreamHost will handle all your domains. With the $8 a month or the $10 a month, depending on what you choose to do, they give you one free domain. So if you don't have a domain, you can register one. Otherwise, it's $10 a year. So any subdomains off of brainsideout.com, I don't pay any extra for. Reboot.dot or Tuesdays.dot or whatnot. I run a few websites, I've been to Duluth.net, copperplated.com, brainsideout.com. Each one of those run me $10 a year. So it's pretty inexpensive, and they handle all that. If you have domains elsewhere that you've registered, say through GoDaddy or Domain Guru or any of those guys, you can transfer them over to DreamHost. Transferring domains is something that can, you know, consume an entire afternoon of discussion. It can get pretty involved, but if you just register it straight up with DreamHost.com, you're not going to run into any problems. It'll just work. Any other questions?
Why don't we thank Dane Peterson, give him a hand for coming out. This is the second class that he's done this for, so it's very generous of him to take his time, especially when he's got clients calling him in the middle of things. So anyway, we're going to take a break.